Roll call. All councils present. Jason Femrin, Jason Moran, Teresa Hill.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
No, the regular.
The regular agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Before they motion the consent agenda, I'd like to move number 3F down to the bottom of 7, new business.
3F?
3F will become new business.
New business.
Aye.
Okay.
And then, Bill, were you going to add winter parking?
And we're adding J, the winter parking rules and snow as number J.
So you'll want another motion to,
Under new business? Okay. All right. Okay, so the first one passed. I'll make a motion that we move letter F down to new business letter I. And then that we also add J to the agenda, which is the winter business and parking rules.
I'll second the motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Then we can do consent.
All right. Consent agenda, A through K, with the exception of F.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, our public hearing on assessments. Do we need a motion to accept?
Open the public hearing.
Open the public hearing? Okay.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Does anyone have any comments? Would anybody like to address the council on the new assessments? Anybody who'd like to address the council on the public assessments? Okay.
Can we close the public hearing?
Yep. Motion to close.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Our resolution number 4, B, C, and D. Resolution B, adopting delinquent utilities.
Need a motion on that?
I'll make a motion. We approve resolution 2023-R-035, adopting delinquent utilities.
Just one question. Can we do them all in one, or do we need separate?
Should do them separate.
Okay. I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2023-R-036, adopting delinquent refuse and recycling.
Go ahead.
I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Jason, I have a question on D. Is that these that are $750, the services, are those fire calls? Is that what
yes.
that is?
The $750 ones are.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 2023 R-037.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to number five. The rate study approval.
So you're just making a motion to accept the rate study prepared by Abdo Solutions, I guess.
Is there anybody here from Abdo?
No.
Okay.
I'll make that motion that we approve the rate study done by Abdo and our accountants.
Yeah. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Citizen time. For anyone who would like to address the council, please come up to the podium and give your name and address. Dave, would you like to address the council?
Yep. Mayor and council, I've just got a couple of updates. I'll be pretty brief. One is that today's commissioner meeting did approve with our county highway engineer getting moving for bids to replace the bridge on 3rd Street here in town. And so there'll be some tree removal. It'll probably happen this winter, and it'll go out for bid this winter, with work then happening next year. Okay, so at least to keep you informed of what will happen with that. And then the other thing is that, again, this is more on the highway side of things, that for any of the county roads that go through towns, we actually do a reimbursement of those. And so that reimbursement for Waterville for your budget for actually that will be paid here now will be $31,295, which will be up just a little bit. And all that is we take what the cost is to maintain a mile of road in the whole county and then see how much of those miles are in your city of county road and do that math, and that's how we come up with that figure. Okay, so since our costs were up to maintain things, we end up passing that out onto the cities that have got to, and so you'll get reimbursed a little bit more compared to what you have there. And then one final thing is that at the last council meeting, you heard about the meeting that, or the hearing, field hearing or presentation that was had with the House Capital Investment Committee. There will be a similar one that will happen later on here in November with the Senate Capital Investment Committee. They won't be coming here. They're going to be going to Mankato. And so we'll take Holly Bushman, who was one of the presenters. She's with Environmental Services for the county. And Mike Schultz, who's our director at the Soil and Water Conservation District, will both present at that meeting. And again, that will be later on this month in Mankato, and which is good because you got to talk with both the House and Senate to make this thing work. And so it's good that they've got interest in it also. And then the final thing is I did have a follow-up conversation after the meeting that was here in Waterville with the chair of the Environment Committee in the House, and he wants to sit down and talk more about it. He's interested in his words, he wants to figure out how to try and help. Okay? So that's good news, and we'll just have to figure out now what the definition of help is, and then go on from there. So we'll get that put together here. I'd like to, before the first of the year, and just see what kind of his thoughts are. But the legislature starts later than normal. They don't even go into session until, I think it's late February this coming year. So they're going to get a later start compared to normal. So we got a little more time to get some stuff put together, too. That's it, unless there's any questions. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Anyone else? Okay, should we move on?
New business.
New business or Highway 13? Road construction?
Sure, thanks for allowing us to come and talk to you this evening. My name is Forrest Hasty. I'm the project manager group lead in District 7. Our state is split into 8 districts, You're in District 7. It's a 13-county area. We're out of Mankato. And so part of my job is to manage the program through what's called the STIP and the CHIP, so the four-year look ahead, and then our 10-year look ahead. A lot of things in our CHIP are very fluid, so we try to scope things and then move them into our STIP as we understand what the costs and impacts are going to be. So tonight I got Barbara Schreiber with me. She's going to be the project manager on all of the Trunk Highway 13 projects. There are three of them. And they go, let me see here, Waseca to Waterville, Waterville to Montgomery, and then Montgomery to New Prague. They're all in different years. We're going to scope two of them at the same time so that we can understand where they're going to fit into our program the best. Those two are the southern two. Right now they're slated for 2028 and 2030, and they've flip-flopped back and forth a few times based on needs. So how we kick it off is we start scoping a project. We get all our functional groups to tell us what the needs are from their aspect. We have our traffic engineers look at crashes. We have our hydraulic engineer inspect all the pipe. We have our bridge engineer inspect all the bridges and come to us and say, these are all the needs. And then we do the same thing with the city. So we come and ask, what are the problems? What are the issues? And that's where we start. And then we talk about opportunities. Now, there are many ways to do this. And every city council is a little different. And so we kind of ask what your preference is to get that feedback back to us. So that can be a city council meeting like this, where we come up and talk and we just have conversations back and forth about issues. We can have a work session where it's just the council. We can have a work session where it's just the council plus certain businesses or a school or maintenance people, anyone you want to include. We can have an open house where we invite the whole community in that you can attend or not attend. We can come to an event where we have like a booth or tablets and we can walk around and talk to people. Or we can do a combination of a few of those or all of those. Is there a preference that you guys would have? That's kind of the goal tonight, is like, how do you want us to get that information from you and the local community?
I think a meeting where we invite the public is usually the way we've kind of handled these, and then you have the opportunity to come if you wish.
Okay. So you want to start with an open house, or do you want to do a work session and then an open house?
That's a good question.
I would think maybe a work session and then an open house.
Okay.
What kind of information are you looking for?
The first interaction, I really just want to talk about issues. You know, I would come and say the biggest issue for me is pavement. That's what kicks off a lot of our projects. And I think the pavement on Highway 13 has been bad for a while.
Yep.
Obviously, just like you guys, we have more needs than money. So things get kicked out. This is one of those projects as well. But once we understand everything that the city would like us to address, we'll come back and say, here's the problem that you threw at us, and here's our solution. What do you think? And then we'll have more open houses throughout the whole project. And then we'll talk about city participation, whether or not municipal consent is needed, and we'll walk through that process later. Right now, I'm just concentrating on what in town, or even out of town, that you think are issues, and how to get that information from you.
How do we get a roundabout on Highway 13 and 60 to slow the traffic down?
So your first thing would say traffic on 60 is too fast.
Well, yes it is. Even though you got it listed at 50 miles an hour, they're going through at 70 miles an hour. They passed me on that.
Right, so then that's one of the issues we want to talk about.
The issues, you would say the speed on Highway 60. This project...
Not just the speed.
The intersection, too.
The intersection. You put them in Montgomery, you put them in New Prague, and yet you won't give Waterville a roundabout to slow things down and change the traffic structure. Do you realize 2 months ago, I had the Coalition of Small Cities transportation guy check on Highway 60. In a 30-day period, we had 491 semis go through here. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of semis.
That is a lot of semis.
And when you did 14, it was supposed to take traffic to Owatonna to get on 35, and no, they don't. They all haul ass down here on Highway 60 and pick it up at Faribault.
Yeah, so that'd be one of the issues we'd write down for this project.
Yeah.
We can do that. I guess I want to speak to, there's a lot of issues, and it's not just water.
I have a question.
And it's a hard thing for us to balance. Just to put it out there, just a stat for you to think about. We use what's called a critical crash index. That's when we look at when we have to do something at an intersection, because we're a reactive agency. When we have a project, we can be proactive. Right now, we have 75 intersections within our district that are at a critical crash rate that something needs to be done. We're addressing 14 in the next 4 years. So there's a lot of need out there. Go ahead.
I'm anticipating a lot of interest in Highway 13 as it goes around the lake.
Yes. Yeah.
And the homeowners in that area.
Yep.
And I think there's going to be a lot of questions there, and they're going to want to know, like, in detail, mm-hmm. what you're going to do with that guardrail, where the guardrails are going to be, if
sure.
there's any in that, because it's a curve also, and a sure. lake, and a ditch, and do you have any plans for that, or what they would do, or...
It's time to scope a project, right? So
this is what he's trying to find out here, guys. He's
right,
trying
so
to find out what the issues are.
Yeah, so it's just how we get the information, and yeah. then we'll react. So if you're saying something like the guardrail is an issue, or you just want to know where they're at, if you want to know where they're going to be later when the project's over, that'd be during the design period.
Right.
Yeah. And the question would be, like, you know, are we replacing the bridge? Are we doing bridge work?
So it sounds like we should.
I'm thinking an initial workshop
yeah.
with you guys, mm-hmm. and you guys formulate a list of concerns and questions.
Yep.
We do an initial workshop, and then after that workshop, then we get everybody together with the public
yes.
and we get some of those answers to some of your questions.
And that's kind of my preference. That way, we can come into the meeting with the public with a list. So let's just say you guys come up with a list of 8 things. We put that on a board. And then people can come see, oh, they have my issue on here. Or they can come and say, yeah, they didn't identify my thing, and then we'll start writing new issues on that board.
There will be a lot of meetings.
It's
for this.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, over the course of the project, you're talking about over a dozen meetings with the council or open houses. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot. We can do surveys, we can do lots of things. So, work session is what I'm hearing, followed by an open house. Do we want to do it like before a city council meeting, after a city council meeting, the day before, or is there, you know, during the day, during the weekend?
We may want to consider giving it its own separate day
mm-hmm.
at like 7:30, something like that.
That would be good.
Do you need a date set now?
No.
Okay.
No, we'll work with Barbara here. We can
yep.
pick out a date.
And you can let Teresa know, and we can just email back and forth and get it set up.
Okay.
And then it gives me time to, if I need to bring maybe my traffic engineer with me, just so we can talk about those issues.
Yeah, that'd be
probably a good idea.
Conversations
we'll
I've had with them.
We can bring some stats with us as well.
Okay.
DNR. You want the DNR there? Ashley Stevens maintains the Cicada Trail. It's pretty easy to work with.
We don't need the DNR. We need you guys.
Great.
Yeah.
I want to bring them.
Unless the yeah, the one question though is about
yep.
the trail crossing.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
that's a big issue actually.
Which would be a DOT issue.
That is a DOT, not a okay.
Cool.
Yeah, we've already approached the DNR and talked about the crossing, so.
Okay.
Been through a lot of these, so usually we can kind of guess what issues you guys come up with, but there's always a few that we don't know about,
yeah.
so.
Did you come up with options for that, or is...
Options?
For how they cross the road and...
We talk about issues first, and then we'll talk about options.
Okay.
There were a couple options identified a few years back, but they never got any funding, so we'll see how that
Yeah, there was talk about overpassing.
Yeah, and it was up for funding and just didn't get funded.
Yeah, overpasses are pretty
expensive.
There's other solutions to whatever problem that could be there. All right, okay. So we'll work with you. We'll come up with some dates. And I like to schedule them kind of back to back. So if we have a work session one night, we can go ahead and schedule an open house at the same time. Because what we'll do is we'll send out news releases so that people in the community know that we're having it. And then that forces us to get ready for that open house too. So if it's 2 weeks after the work session, we can get our materials together.
Are you talking before the new year or after yet? Because obviously this time gets busy, this time of year.
I like sooner rather than later. Okay. If you want to wait for the open house at least, we could do it at the beginning of January.
Okay.
We've got a lot of open houses already in November.
Yeah, so we'll have to discuss that, but you know, whenever we find a date or two.
Yeah. And then through this whole process, I've noticed that a lot of times city councils will wait to ask questions. Like, we've already had a couple of open houses, we've talked about issues, we even come back with alternatives, here are the solutions, and then they'll have a question, and they'll wait for us to come back. Sometimes it might be a 6 month period where we're not here. Don't wait. If you ever have a question on any highway, it doesn't have to be even in Waterville, just give us a call. I'd rather address it right away than let it linger.
Do you know why they put off doing Highway 13 till 2028?
Money.
The state is loaded with it. Look at all your surplus. Can't you people up there go and get the money that needs to be done?
My people up there are the same people as your people up there. Represent all of us.
I mean,
as a legislative body, I have no control over what the legislative body does. I get given a budget, and then I try to distribute it in a way that does the best for the taxpayers in District 7.
Well, somebody did something, because from Waterville to Waseca, that road was terrible, just like 13 going to Montgomery up to New Prague. Somebody got it covered, because they went and blacktopped it all the way down.
Yeah, that's a different group. So that's our maintenance group. They use, it's a different color of money. But we talked about how to spend that money there, because we were afraid it was going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the one-inch overlay came from. And it's not the only spot where we did a one-inch overlay. We also did one in on Dodd Road in St. Peter. That one was falling apart too. So sometimes we're struggling just to keep our roads together. We also don't want to pave a road, right? Like do a one-inch overlay and then throw it away. We want to get the absolute amount of life out of that pavement that we can.
I understand that.
Yeah.
This type of project's going to be a complete reconstruct then, right? Is that what you're talking
about? No, it's a preservation project.
Okay.
So it's not a reconstruct.
Okay.
I've had preservation projects turn into reconstruction projects. Typically when that happens, they get pushed back again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. You bet.
Thank you.
You don't need direction from us, Teresa, to do any of that, do you? They just help you set it up, and you just get back to us then?
So they'll give me some dates, and I'll circulate, make sure everybody's available, and we'll set the work session date.
Okay, on to B. Approval of the revised right-of-way permit.
You may take this one?
Sure.
Teresa and I had some discussions about the application that we currently have for a right-of-way permit to dig in the right-of-way. We have a right-of-way ordinance currently in place. It has rules and restrictions, of course. The old application, the old permit that we were operating off of, contained some archaic language in it, and essentially my opinion did not sufficiently cover what we need to have happen when trenches are left open, so on and so forth. What this does is it puts the applicant on notice of some time periods and some responsibilities that has to be honored once a right-of-way permit is granted. And essentially what this says is no trenches shall be left open for a period longer than 7 days. For any trenches that are left open, they have to be marked and have to be safeguarded from personal injury. And essentially the goal there is to try to get trenches closed up as quickly as we can. If somebody isn't going to make the 7 days, they would essentially contact Teresa, and depending on the circumstance, there might be an extension granted. But at any rate, we're going to start it at 7 days. I've also got language in there that states that if they don't honor their obligation, the city can come in and fix the trench, so to speak, cover it up, do what needs to be done. Any costs incurred would then be passed on to the applicant. So it's just some additional language that I think is worthy of inclusion into the permit. And Teresa and I reviewed it. We came to an agreement on it, and it's for your consideration.
It says that they have to totally close everything back up the way it was, so
correct.
Turf and everything?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Correct. And if they don't, then the city can come in and do it and assess them. If things really got bad, what we could then do is not issue another right-of-way permit. So, for instance, if we have a utility that, you know, is a little slow to get their trench closed up or isn't closing it up to our satisfaction, then we can refuse to grant a right-of-way permit on the next project. So it essentially gives us some tools and some teeth to gain some compliance. But we did not have that language in the old permit.
So we need a motion to approve
this? Yes.
This isn't like an ordinance or anything, is it? It's just a...
Correct. This is not an ordinance. This is simply language that's being added to the right-of-way permit itself.
Okay.
Doesn't require a public hearing or anything.
Okay.
I'll make that motion that we approve the changes the right-of-way permit process.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
So we'll start using that immediately.
Thank you.
You bet.
C is our data practices and public access to policies and updates. Lisa, do you have any information on that?
Yeah, so what's in front of you is just an updated of the access policy for data practices. I felt that it needed better clarification. So our other access policy was didn't really spell out what the council felt was a reasonable time limit, did not really disclose the cost for copies for anything like over 100. So it spells out a little bit more what media, so on, would be used. So it's just kind of updated. I think it gives better information to the requester to know, you know, what they're requesting, if there's possible costs associated, how it's going to be handled. So that's all it is. It just cleans that up, provides more information to the requester.
Good to me.
Can you get a motion for that one?
I'll make a motion that we approve data practices public access policy update.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. The ordinance 51.125.2-2023, water and sewer rates.
So this would be based off the information given. This would be your first reading of this ordinance, and then you would be looking at setting a public hearing for December 5th, in which you would take your comment on the ordinance and decide if you're going to adopt. And this is based off of our work sessions.
I'll make a motion that we approve the first reading of the ordinance 51.125.2-2023.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Did it set a public hearing date? at the same time, or do you have to have a separate motion?
You need to set a public hearing date, yes.
Yeah, but I probably could have done that in one motion, right?
It's okay, yeah.
I'll do a second motion then to set our public hearing date of December 5th then.
Second then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, E is a department expense request. I believe that is from Mark at the Water Department.
Is that the truck?
So you have three separate requests. One from fire for a Class A uniform, one for police for light car installation. And then in addition to that was the increased price due to the ordering error for the truck.
And there's nothing new here other than that change in the truck, right?
Correct.
I mean, things that we have talked about.
Right, so this was, this is just the regular request, so. And then Mark did a little summary of, you know, he's requesting that we spend the $37,010 and get the 6-foot box instead of the 8-foot.
We're getting these expense requests because we put that spending freeze on, so we're going to approve these.
Yep.
And then did everybody read the, why he wants that smaller truck?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't his fault that.
Nope.
Terry Brown did that.
I agree. I still shake my head sometimes when those things happen, of how you can be a salesman and not write down the right truck when you sit and talk about it for hours.
I've had that buying a car.
I'll make a motion then that we approve the department expense requests as presented.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Number F is our bike sculpture. That is currently being asked to decide on a location of two choices right now. I think this is the one that I'd kind of like to see us wait until we get closer to the bike sculpture and the until their project's funded. And we had a couple locations they wanted that to be at, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to decide or pick a spot based on not having enough information just yet, or the funding.
I agree.
So we should have a talk about this.
Would you like us to answer any questions tonight?
If you have, do you have some answers about funding?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, so as a joint project with the Chamber and the Waterville Area Arts and Rec Council, we worked on coming up with a tourism corridor that would connect the bike trail to our downtown businesses. After the initial concept, Daryl's friends from Lakeville expressed interest in funding said project up to $30,000. They're the owners of Electric Bike Company. Coolway Coffee rents their bikes here. So as far as funding goes, Daryl might have a word about that.
Yeah, they're a company based out of Arizona. The ownership is from Lakeville, Minnesota. I've actually had the pleasure of doing some business with them. That's how I met them. But the name of their company is Electric. It begins with the letter L. And you see that quite often, being on the bike trail and whatnot in town here. They've got a little, I don't don't know, side pot of money on the side that they do to donate to various communities for various things like this. And they would love to be a part of that, and they said up to 30 grand is what they'd be willing to give to City of Waterville to do that.
Wow.
They would just like to have their name on it somewhere if they could.
Yeah. Is that enough to fund the entire project?
Yes.
Do you think?
20.
Very close. And another source of funding is the State Health Improvement Program, which goes by the initials of SHIP, but Minnesota has two things that go by SHIP, also State Insurance Program, so this is the health program, and they are looking at funding of $5,000 to $7,000 for bike charging, because it's by Sakata Trail, and also something they call a tool crib, which is like a round stop that has tools on cables to fix your bike. They would also possibly look at funding either a porta potty or concrete sidewalk access if we could to the exterior of the police department so that there was bathroom facilities. And they have contacted us twice now and asked us when we're going to apply. So again, that's about $5,000 to $7,000 for that. Another reason, you know, before the money happens to disappear, that we would like this to be a decision on location soon, is that the chamber received from Southern Minnesota Initiative a total of a $9,000 grant for marketing, which is going to cover a video tape. And that's going to be used on different websites. As that marketing committee has met and make a list of what's unique to Waterville and what do we not want to miss, it would be really nice to have the bike sculpture in there. Because though we're excited about the marketing grant, that's not going to happen every year, and that's not going to happen probably for another 10 years. So it would be nice to get the bike sculpture in there.
And Randy Taylor, the owner of Dirty Lakes Fabrication, yep, has presented the estimate as well as two estimates for landscaping to the EDA.
Okay.
The one location by the police station, we discussed this before, that if that building should ever have to be sold or anything or moved or something, then the property, it wouldn't have any property with it left anymore if we put something on that piece of property, was one of the issues that we came up with. And another issue I worry about is accidents. You know, you say you can put a sign and say, do not climb on this, but you're bound to get someone that could possibly climb on it, some child or something, and then who's going to be responsible for that? I mean, who's going to get the bill or whatever? I mean, would that come back under the city purview of having to take care of that? Or,
there's,
you know, that's
of,
my...
Yeah.
Concern.
There's ways of setting up the sculpture that Brady has looked, so it's not just go take one step and we're on it. You know, it would be difficult to do. It would be difficult like climbing on Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
So you can't keep track of everyone, but that has been in consideration.
I was going to say, other cities do these kinds of things, and anything that makes our city more attractive, especially to visitors, and, you know, I think we need to pursue it. As far as the statues, I mean, they're all over the state, so what do other towns do? I mean, we have to find out. I can tell you them, because I like to visit them. I like to take pictures of them.
And, yeah, future property value is also being in consideration, but if no one's asking for it right now, we can't wait for someone else's idea either and stall ours. There's a lot of traffic that comes down on Reed Street.
We can wait, actually. It's city property,
yeah.
So.
And I do believe that was a separate parcel to the police station.
It is. That makes that parcel much more valuable, depending on what they decide to market that for. Mm-hmm. So we do have another location in town that we could consider at some point.
Where else are you looking at? We did a tour around with Teresa and the park.
Well, there was another one, another idea that was thrown out is down by the water tower.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Trail goes nowhere near the water tower.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We need to look at ways to make this happen, not make it not happen.
Well, we're also trying to make sure that we're not throwing money away on a single lot by putting a sculpture in the middle of it that would be marked.
Ken's in a sculpture.
It's an opportunity. I mean, you've got thousands of people that come to Waterville via that bike trail, and it's a great way to promote our community. I just heard these two up here rattle off $50,000 that people are willing to give to our community to promote our community. And that's right off the bike trail. It's one of the gateways to our community. It's a way to make an impression. It could help paint the police department possibly in a better light. Having that facility right next door, it's a great way to promote our city. Love to see you guys figure out a way to...
I've got idea for some of this too, because I have actually done some research and looking at it, but is there something I don't know though about selling the property and the police station?
Well, if we're...
What am I missing?
We've talked about at least a couple of times talked about the idea of if we vacate the fire department that stands right now, if we build another fire station, we vacate that building. There's been talk of possibly moving the fire department or the police department and possibly City Hall there.
There, okay. That's what you're thinking, okay.
In which case, we would be looking to market the police department property, possibly.
Okay, but I think I have a solution there, too, because this has happened. I can give you some towns if you want. But if that's the statue or whatever that you build can be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, especially if it's one big piece. And I know several cities that have done that. Because they had it in one spot, found out they needed that for something else, and you just move it somewhere else. I don't know. I want to thank you guys for doing the research and getting the grants and all that stuff. And I would like to, I'm all for making our town more attractive to visitors.
We could always finish the sculpture, put it on the trailer. Drive it around and see what everybody votes on, where it goes.
That's another idea.
We're going to have a public hearing about highway departments. We could have a public hearing on vote where the bike sculpture should go. Which, by the way, when you're talking about the highway, please remember the school, and they need one of the flashy light things like what La Cita has to include them.
Believe me, that's going to be talked about.
It already has been.
Yeah. It's brought up just about every time we meet with the school.
Yep.
So if you could look at it again at your next council meeting and let us know, we're ready to go when you are. Thank you.
What is there, my one question would be on the monies, how long do we have, before those would not be available?
I guess until electric bike company loses interest.
Okay.
Why is it that you don't have the money donated now?
Because they want the city to have a location picked out.
Got to have a plan first.
Right. And we have done, Brady's done the estimate for his sculpture, and we've done estimates for the landscaping. We need a permanent site.
Yeah, I've done a few grants, and you can't get any grant until you have a plan and a timetable and everything before. Otherwise, you don't get grants.
And this Chamber of Commerce video that we're talking about is amazing. It is going to promote this community and the surrounding areas like you wouldn't believe. What you can do with $7,500 to do a video that promotes our city is amazing. And it's just little bits and pieces like that if you start connecting them, I think you can do some really wonderful things with that. It's maybe not something we've thought about before. I'm just kind of inviting you to think about something a little different and give people more of a reason to step into Waterville. And there's a number of business owners up here. It'd be nice to have, I'm sure you'd like more business. Have more people come to town. We heard a staggering figure of how many people go to the state park out there every year. It's a really, really big number. Millions.
I should also add that the Water Blue Chamber is going to be on a call with Montgomery Chamber tomorrow, as well as MnDOT, to talk about expanding the bike trail from Montgomery to Waterville as part of this Highway 13 project.
Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and we were specifically asked to be part of the call.
Because we're working on projects like this.
You're all volunteers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for your work on that.
All right. So we move on to G. The Herbert Street Drainage Project, that's number one.
I could speak to that if you wish.
Sure.
A little bit. So this was that Herbert Street Drainage Improvement. Got it done in essentially about a month, in and out of there. I think things went very, very well. So this is passment number one. Just a little bit of cleanup and turf establishment would be the follow-up past this. But by and large, everything went very well, and it's up and running. So.
I see there were some other, there's some other work to, apparently the homeowners were finishing up the area down there.
Okay.
The ditch or whatever after the fact.
Okay.
That was not part of our project, though?
It's not.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Oh, the project looks nice.
Good. And,
yeah. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
It does. It turned out nice.
Yeah.
Is this a final? This is just the first installment?
This is the first one. There'll be one other one, so we get some grass to grow.
How much are they holding back for the second payment?
So we have those pay items, and then we have the retainage of $3,976.
Yeah, well, and I do have one question. So I know it's set up for the water flow and that kind of thing. What would happen if we find out the first time we have a bigger rain that it needs to be changed a little?
Well, the pipes are only sized to handle a five-year rain event.
Okay.
It's going to rain more than that. It's going to go down the road.
Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we can't size it for
nope.
the rain events that we're used to seeing. Yeah. Right. So it's sized to handle normal rain events.
Normal rain
yeah,
events.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would just go down the road.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
So the silt barrier that's still there will probably be there until through spring as
we'll like have to look at that. I'd like to get it, you know, buttoned up. I don't want to have any erosion going into the lake there.
Yeah.
So once we feel that's appropriate, then they can pull that.
And the portion you're holding back is the order for the next payment is for work that's not done yet, which is seeding there, and
yep, there's just a little bit of seeding we have not paid them for, and then we have a 5% retainage, which is typical with our contracts, that we hold that back until the project is finalized. Then we pay them that remaining 5%. That's about $3,900.
You're good with everything, the lake shore and all that worked out?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion then that we approve project pay estimate number one for Herbert Street drainage.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. H, the Police Civil Service Commission vacancy.
I have a point. See, because we have this vacancy, isn't it time we kind of readdress this issue and just disbanded this commission?
Amen.
I think that's a conversation we could certainly have. We should have everybody's input on that, at least.
Public hearing.
We've actually discussed this a lot already. Jason, what was the deal about
a couple times a year we've discussed
it. Yeah, so believe me, it's not a new item.
It's time again.
It has to be a unanimous vote.
To disband it?
To disband.
Correct.
What, can you refresh our memories on what exactly the commission is for, what its purpose is, and what they do?
They hold the keys to the department. You guys set the budget, and they manage the department. They deal with promotions, with hirings, with any disciplinary actions.
I don't think it's being managed too well.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you guys have some decisions to make.
Yeah. We never get any reports. I don't even know when they hold meetings.
It's
supposed to.
I mean, we have an HR committee to do hiring
meeting
and stuff, and then we have personnel attorneys that deal with complaints. So, I mean, why have two separate things? I mean, we should have more control over things. If we have the money, we should control what's going on. I mean, we're having a rash of officers not wanting to be here, moving, going, we're losing, we're picking up, we're doing this and that, but the thing is, you know, if they have to go on all this overtime, who's going to schedule the, you know, tell them how to schedule their shifts? I mean, should they cut back on some calls, some shifts somewhere? Should they pick up something from the county? Should they do any of these things, you know? But we don't have that right to designate that, but we have to pay for everything.
Correct.
So I think we should have more control over what's going on. And we can't do that until this commission is disbanded.
Correct.
Big mistake.
So I'm curious, you guys' thoughts, why do we want to keep this commission? What don't we have that in the HR department and the other things that we can't handle that without all this other? I mean, we interview firefighters, we interview other employees, we interview, you know, the interview process isn't any different. They still have to go through checks regardless, you know. So, I mean, it's just my opinion. That's been a bad thing for me for a long time, but...
Isn't the idea to take a little bit off of our plate as far as figuring?
If we have an HR committee, it's not on our plate all the time. It's no different than the commission doing the interviewing. The HR committee would do the interviewing. And if they have a complaint issue or anything, it still has to go through a personnel attorney. That the commission can't just deal with it. They still have to have somebody take care of it. Correct, Jason?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... What's the point of having to, you're going to have a turnover, you're going to have this or that? I mean, just be done with it and put it under our control and the HR committee's control.
How often does this commission meet, Teresa? Do you know?
Quarterly.
There's your answer, quarterly.
Supposed to.
I don't recall getting reports from this commission at all.
There's one that was canceled, never rescheduled.
No, I don't get reports from them.
Okay.
If that's what you were asking. We get recommendations when it comes to hiring and so on.
I think
ratifying what they're requesting.
Something has to be done. We just lost two good officers in Montgomery and the Sheriff's Department. It makes us tough to try and hire. We're no different than any other community in this state right now. After all the rioting that happened, you got people who don't even want to go to the tech college and take classes and become certified to be a police officer. And the thing is, I think we need to bring it back to the council and have some control here what we're going to do.
Yeah, the question would be, with the people leaving, first of all, realize that's every community in the state of Minnesota has people leaving. We've been lucky to even have ours full. I can list, I don't know how many that don't have them full and are still looking. But what we need to find out is, if we can talk to them, why they are leaving. You know, that's the big question.
Right. That's why we have to bring the control into the council. We can find out why they're leaving. I know why one of them left.
Okay.
We might have already known.
All right. Should we allow somebody to speak or not yet?
Sure.
Okay.
We do have one of the members of the Police Civil Service Commission here if you want to bring them up and we can talk to them.
We did a study a while back, several years ago.
All right.
Pardon me.
No, that's all right.
We did a study several years ago on this.
Mm-hmm.
This town is the lowest paid there is in this area of all towns this size.
Okay.
It was brought up at that time that the reason we can't keep them is they're going where there's more money. Okay? And we still haven't done anything about the money. And that was going to be maybe brought up later, but...
Okay. What can you tell us, Tom, about what specifically what the Civil Service Commission is tasked with and what your responsibilities are.
Our responsibilities are hiring fire, taking care of complaints. Right now we have two officers that as soon as their background is completed, will come to you folks and you can vote on them. Both of them are previous police officers, both of them. There's a chance, just a chance, we could be losing another one too, so.
Are you doing exit interviews on the ones that are leaving so we know what's going on? We have no idea what's going on.
90% of it.
I had to find out from another city officials to find out what was going on.
I'll write you a report, okay, Roy?
That you interviewed these people as they left? Why they left?
I'll write you a report, okay?
They told you why they were leaving. Not just money. Don't give me the money part. Everybody knows about the money. And the thing is that that's a problem at half the cities in the state of Minnesota. So it's not the money. There's something else underlying that's creating that problem. When you got an officer that's been around for 17 years and jumped ship and goes to Montgomery, it was sad to hear why he went to Montgomery.
I have a couple other talking points on this. We're probably going to be shorthanded in that department, or possibly shorthanded. So we're going to have to talk about our coverage, backing off our 24-hour coverage.
But we can't do that with that commission in place. We have no control on that. That's why I say we need to get rid of the commission. Anything that has to be dealt with any of the process or anything, then we can discuss that and we can deal with it. But until then, because that's in place, all we have is the money. Correct?
Correct.
Yep.
You set the budget.
I'm going to comment on that.
And the commission manages the department. Yep. Handles the department.
Coverage.
Well, coverage issues, those are all administration issues. Those are should be handled by the department itself as best
and
as they can.
And they should, but who's going to tell them?
But there's no oversight other than the commission itself. You guys have no oversight. The only thing you guys have is the power of the purse.
Yep.
If we, the city council, got rid of the oversight committee, and then would the police department have more access to City Hall, and would we delegate more responsibilities to manage the police department through our city administrator?
Yes.
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 And then
essentially the department at that point in time, in terms of the organizational chart, how it's organized, is it would fall under administration. I mean, the sole oversight would technically be with the council, but then from there it would fall down to city administrator, and then, you know, I don't know if they would have any more access to City Hall, but they would essentially fall under your oversight.
Do we have the committee to handle the interviews?
The HR committee.
And you have personnel attorneys on call to handle any complaints. So why not get our control back? This is my point.
And we're not on any time restraint. We could do this tonight. We could do this December 5th. We could do this January, anytime we wanted to, really. Is that...
Well, you couldn't disband the commission or anything tonight because it's not on the agenda. The only thing that's on the agenda tonight is the vacancy.
Correct.
But what you can do is you can package that with the vacancy. You know, what are you going to do with the vacancy is the question that you really have to wrestle with tonight. And if I'm hearing that you know, you've got questions regarding the Civil Service Commission itself, it probably should be put on the agenda as a discussion item at some point.
We should put it on the December meeting. I mean, there's no reason to jump at filling a vacancy. We need to take a hard look at this.
We can certainly fill this vacancy tonight.
Why?
But we could still do the meeting.
Because you can't find them. You can't find policemen.
The vacancy is the commission vacancy.
Yeah. Okay.
Have we gotten any applications?
If we put it on the agenda, whether we're going to disband it or not, fill the vacancy at that point.
Well, I think there might be trouble with our hiring process with that position vacant.
I have a couple of questions.
No, there's candidates already on the list to come forward to be for the council to vote on if we're going to hire them. They're going through the background process and drug screen and everything now. And you got two candidates coming forward.
Being we still do have a commission,
let me ask the question here, and this might answer a couple of them for you. Okay. Do we have any applications for the vacancy on the Police Civil Service Commission?
We do have one applicant, but we have not advertised because there was no vacancy declared.
Normally we would advertise for that.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have, with the existing members of the commission, do they have the ability to act to function normally until we fill that position if we listed it in the public?
Yes, we do. There was question about whether or not one member would be available. I spoke with that member. That member is not going to be available for probably 2 days in person. Other than that, I should say two more days, I believe, is what she said.
So. And this particular position that we have a vacancy in right now, when does that one come due for reappointment?
Commission is March, so March of 2024.
And it's just that position, or is it all of them?
No, they do one a year.
Okay.
So the person who resigned, their position would be up at the next appointment.
So if we were to fill this position, it would be up for reappointment again in 2024 regardless?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Did those questions help at all?
Okay. Sure. Thanks, Tim.
I move we table the issue until the December meeting and not fill a vacancy.
I'll second it.
I think we should go out for public application on this. I realize we do have at least one person that's put in for it, but we may have others out there, and I think we definitely have more discussion on this regardless. So
we do have a motion and a second on the floor.
Did you have an opportunity?
Well, we're going to have a vote.
Yep. Correct. There's a motion and a second to table this issue until December.
All in favor of the motion is to table.
And when I say table this issue, I mean table the appointment of a vacancy.
Of the vacancy.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So it's tabled.
So then do we have to put a separate thing on the agenda? Does it have to be a motion, or?
It does.
I'd like to make the motion that we put on the agenda for December 5th that we consider disbanding the Police Civil Service Commission.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. So then we're moving to I, our new hires. That was.
I just had a question. I mean, we put them forward as, you know, we never get a question or ask any questions about them. I did find out that the fire department hires have passed everything, but we always say everything else is contingent upon whether they pass the background or the psychologicals. Why do we do that? Why can't we wait until they pass everything before we say yes?
Actually, that's normal procedure. A lot of agencies hire that way. With contingencies. And if they don't pass,
then they don't get hired.
Yeah, that was just my question. I was just curious. We don't get to question. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't know anything about the two officers that are being brought forward. We don't have any information on them whatsoever. You know, that was all handled through the commission. So we don't know. We just say, oh, yeah, we take your recommendation. We go ahead. Yeah, we approve them. You know, but when you don't know anything about them, it makes it kind of hard, you know, where they're coming from, why they're coming. And
and we're going to be talking about whether we have that commission or not. But then we have a commission in place that we've allowed here. So we're saying they can't do their job, is what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. I'm just saying that when we always approve these,
right,
almost all the time, but we know nothing about them.
That's right, because it's not our responsibility.
No.
Well, essentially, what you're doing is you're not approving the hire, you're approving the wage.
Yeah.
And so then you get back to her point.
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we approve the recommended new hires and temporary appointments for both fire department and the police department as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
One of the police officers being hired is a former police chief of Eagle Lake, because they disbanded their police department.
Yeah, I heard that. Then the other's a part-time, but he's from quite a ways away.
Well, he's got 30 minutes to be here.
Is it 30?
Yep. Yeah. I used to be involved in the hiring.
Okay. We're just lucky to have candidates, so I'm happy that they're...
Mm-hmm. They had to be dug up.
Oh, I know. That's my point.
When you go to that police board, there's 123 openings in the state of Minnesota.
Let's move on. Jay, our winter parking snow emergency in the downtown area. Just a little bit of background. I was under the impression that this had changed to a declared snow emergency when we did our parking, changed our parking from what it was to 48-hour parking. I thought this addressed our downtown parking. So we wanted this on the agenda to change that winter parking from November 1st date, regardless of snow, all the way until it ends in April, with no overnight parking in the downtown area, which is a map, more than just Main Street, 2nd, 3rd, all the way to the school. It's a sizable map. I was hoping we would switch that to a declared snow emergency on a per day basis, which we already have a system in place to send out text messages to people. We've lost a lot of our parking in downtown. We've lost our city parking is turned over to be developed next door. we have businesses that are open night shifts that utilize the street parking with no snow on the ground that are still in violation of that. And we have downtown apartment rentals that have an enormous undertaking to park their vehicle behind in the alley and then make their way all the way around the whole block to the front of the building to access their apartments. So with the loss of this parking here and more stuff going on, I'd like it to be a declared snow emergency on a per day basis rather than spending having everybody not park on the street every night when it's not snowing and there isn't a snow emergency. So I'd like to open that up for discussion.
Yes, I would like to fill in on that.
Does the council have anything they want to talk about on that? We'll bring Al up here when he's...
First question I've got is, did we do away with the November to April when we redid our parking ordinance?
No, essentially what you've got is you get your snow emergency ordinance in place. Whenever snow emergency is declared by Public Works Administration, nobody can park on the streets until they're plowed curb to curb. That ordinance is still in place. Then you've got your 48-hour parking restriction. It basically says on city streets you can't park for more than 48 hours consecutively on the street, 24 hours in a parking lot. And then we've got a third ordinance that essentially says the city can, by resolution, designate certain areas as restricted parking or no parking. And I think that's kind of where this is coming from. It's in that, Teresa may correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just kind of going from memory on this. I don't have the ordinance booked in front of me, obviously. But I think it's that third catch-all that kind of we can, on a case-by-case basis, establish no parking in certain zones or certain areas, as many cities do.
Do we have, is this, my interpretation of what I've heard, at least, is that this is a seasonal thing?
I think you've got some sort of a policy in place. I certainly didn't draft it, wasn't here when it was drafted, but you've got, and Teresa can comment on that, but I think you've got some sort of a no parking downtown between November 1 and April.
Yep.
Early morning hours or something. And what I'm hearing from Mayor Conlin is he would like to potentially look at relaxing that or maybe even doing away with it because you need to free up some parking. Am I hearing that right?
If it's not snowing, that makes it hard, you know, and there's no snow on the ground. If you get the snow emergency, yeah, get them the heck off the road. But during other times when there's not any snow,
why should they have the
hardship? To limit that.
The businesses and the residents.
Do we, Alan, can you, you said you had some comments on this. What, the seasonal, the reason for it not being able to park from November 1st until April, I don't remember the date on
usually,
that.
Just to back up a little bit on this, how we created this 2 to 6, where we're at today. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, when we did have the 2 to 6 downtown, we had nothing but issues of trying to get vehicles moved. Mm-hmm. We would declare a snow emergency, and now all of a sudden, either A, the wrecker couldn't get here to get the vehicles moved, and it was just nothing but a hassle.
Okay.
And we fought and fought and fought to get to 2 to 6. Once we got to 2 to 6, people got used to parking in their alleys, in their driveways. Once that got established and we got to 2 to 6 to work, we haven't had any issues in the downtown school or any adjunction streets that are within that 2 to 6 zone. So, to answer the mayor's question, prior to that, this
ordinance was in effect or law before that parking lot was even developed. There was a building there.
Okay.
So anybody, again, that's parked in those blocks, that's 2 to 6, have all got either alleys or nice driveways or yards to park in. We go back to the not just eliminating the 2 to 6, we're going to be back in the same boat we were years ago, trying to get cars moved, going around them, coming back, cleaning it up, and it's nothing but complaints is all we get. So I thought we had something developed that was working extremely well. The people were used to it. They know they got to move November 1st, find a place to park. And I think it's a super bad move to go back and abolish that 2 to 6 when you've already got that in effect.
Yeah, How did this all rear its ugly head then again?
Refresh a little bit on a couple questions about, okay, there's no snow today, there's no snow tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We do street sweeping in November. We sweep up until it snows. And then in early spring, in mid-March, we're sweeping streets in the downtown and the school area trying to get stuff cleaned up again.
Sure.
I swept the other morning in the downtown and the school area in that 2 to 6 zone.
Mm-hmm.
November 1st or 2nd or whatever it was, I went around 14 vehicles in that zone.
Okay.
So abolishing that 2 to 6 and we go back to the same thing we had before, I think is a horrible mistake.
I was actually on council when we went to the 2 to 6. And before that, it was always the, well, we didn't know if this amount of snow was,
yep,
we should move, or we didn't get word, or there's no signs. We heard there's no signs. You heard everything, and as he said, it was a horrible mess.
It was.
And it's been good the last few years. I talked to Al quite a bit, and, you know, when you have a plow, you want to be able to run without car snow.
Absolutely. I understand that.
A snow emergency declaration. Other communities follow it. You call a snow emergency and people can't park in the street.
See, I would like to know what others, are there others that have our system?
Calling a snow emergency or being gone for 6 months where you can't park in the street in front of your own house?
Sure.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
Yeah.
And we're also using dump trucks and a snowblower now that once there's a windrow, it's cleaned up with that.
But that doesn't have nothing to do with the cleanup part of it. That has nothing to do with getting the snow away from the curb.
Well, we used to use city employees to do all that, or run the loader for that and load
right,
that snow, and now
the
we
two
hire
to six
people
is,
to do that.
The 2 to 6 is what helps, is to get the snow away and into the middle of the road.
Which you would still do in a snow emergency.
No, I've been through that. And then all of a sudden, like I say, you call a snow emergency. You might call a snow emergency at 10 o'clock at night because you might only have 1 inch of snow or 2 inches of snow. And then people will say, well, I didn't hear there was a snow emergency.
Yep. They were sleeping.
I've been through it.
I don't see any need to remove it. The thing is that some reliability has to be on the landlords who are renting to these people to supply proper parking space for them so that they can be parked and they know where to park and not on the street.
I do.
And I know what it's like because I've had times when I've left Waterville early in the morning at 4:30 and see cars parked on the street, which is ridiculous.
Well, we do have, at least in the, what block is that that runs past you, Bill? And Lake Country
Second Street.
Second Street.
Main.
We do have an issue down there because we've got the city's largest employer runs 24-hour operation, and their employees do utilize the street and the alley to park in. So from November 1st until April 1st or whenever it is, technically they're in violation, the night shift employees.
And that was the one across the street, PMI?
That's during the day. Or do they park at night?
They have access.
They're 24-hour access.
All right.
But it was that way 30 years ago, two guys, and they moved.
And the businesses that haven't closed yet, which are Event Center, DT's 118, Corner Bar.
That's probably my biggest issue, is we've got people who have a legitimate reason to be there at that point in time, yet that, you know, how do we tell the city's largest employer that their employees aren't allowed to park on the street anymore? Because they don't have a parking lot big enough.
Well, we did that when we installed this, whatever it was, 15 years ago.
They weren't running 24 hours then, either, were they?
Oh, yeah. Like Country Sales?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They probably had more employees.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see the difference between having a 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. ban on parking versus declaring a snow emergency and nobody's parking out there from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. with the snow emergency.
How many times have our police officers ticketed people because they didn't get their cars off the street with the snow emergency?
I can guarantee you it was more times when there was no snow on the ground. Absolutely no snow on the ground, and they were ticketed and towed.
But they get a warning first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are supposed to.
Well, no.
Okay.
I have.
All right.
There's really no reason to ticket or tow somebody when there's no snow on the ground and no snow emergency.
Yeah. Well, Teresa, do you have any idea how many other cities have our system?
I do not.
Okay. I think we need to find that out.
We need to do.
If we're the only ones that have such a system, then I would be for getting here.
You can go right to Waseca. They got the same thing.
Yeah, by asking.
I can tell you you're not the only one that has that system.
Thank you.
Parking intricacies are special to each city. So, you know, ultimately you guys got to wrestle with this. And what one city does may not work in Waterville.
Yeah, right.
There's, in this downtown Main Street, you literally, like I say, these people are literally walking around the entire length of the block and then down to the alley and then down the alley again just to park when there's not a chance of snow. It's not going to snow. There's not going to be a snow emergency. They're not going to plow.
Where are they going to park if you declare a snow emergency?
Well, what I'm getting at is most of the time they won't have to walk around the whole building to park their car.
But they would on
the snow. So the apartment next to Ron's Hardware,
yeah,
those people will have to go all the way around because there's no rear. The entrance and exit to the apartments is in the front. So they literally have to go all the way around the building and get to their cars and down the alley to get to their car when there's no snow. For 6 months, well, December, November, December, January, February, March, April.
Five months.
It's November 1st. It could snow November 2nd.
It could. And we could declare a snow emergency, and they could park in the back and walk around the block. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm just going to tell you, you can make your decision of what you want to do, and I'll take it from there.
He's your expert. He's your paid expert right here.
Nobody ever wants to ride along.
He's your staff.
Well, I make a motion we table it for another meeting. We need to know more. Maybe we need to dig tunnels under the street to the back alleys.
Can we give some direction to find out? Do we need to find out, you know, how many other community or how many other communities would have this? And
that would be the one question, I think.
And then maybe what are other alternatives for handling this would be? Because I do see legitimate concerns both ways, but
having a snow emergency is going to be exactly what it is. every day now. So it'll be a declared snow emergency with it snowing, and people will move their vehicles or they'll be tagged and towed versus being tagged and towed without it snowing. Do you think, when's the last time you didn't see a person with a phone in their hand? They come up with a text message right to you that says it's a snow emergency and vehicles should be moved.
How often does it happen that we need vehicles moved and can't get someone here to move them? Just as a curiosity.
You would have to ask Alma. I don't.
See, your problem.
I'm not in that operation.
It can happen on a 2 or 3 inch snow. If Gene, the tow company's got a bunch in the ditch, if John was here, he could verify it. He'll say, you know, Gino can't get here because he's out towing, you know, highway or the county or whatever, and he can't get into town. So he said, Alan, it's going to be a while before we can get the cars moved.
Okay.
That does us no good. I mean, there's no sense even declaring a snow emergency.
All right. How, let me ask you this as an idea alternative. If you know you're going to be sweeping streets or something like that, I mean, you'd know that a couple of days ahead of time, typically.
Most of the time.
Okay. So if that was the case, would you be able to do a temporary parking restriction in that area?
On
one of the streets, if you knew you were going
to... Usually I do it. I do everything that's in that 2 to 6 zone.
Okay.
So that means I put no parking on 24 blocks on both sides.
Is that so? You do the entire downtown?
I do the entire downtown and school area.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What if part of the area was reduced and wasn't snow emergency? What if Lake Country Sales and Second Street didn't have that snow emergency? And what if the stretch of Main Street didn't have the snow emergency like how many blocks? 24?
I think there's 24 total.
24 blocks we can't park on. So, and in that 24 blocks, there's only a small portion of it that has trouble accessing their vehicle and parking their vehicle from December 1st until April 1st without any give whatsoever, regardless of whether there's snow. They're literally walking the length of what could be half the block or more down the block, back down the alley. It's a lot. It's a lot. And it's an inconvenience for those people. It certainly isn't meant to cause us any rift or problem with the council or the city employees. It should have been with you. You're only talking about a short piece of 3rd Street, which lost that recent parking, and a short distance on Main Street, which is one block, and a short distance on 2nd Street. How would that count for your 24 blocks? Would you count that as 3? From 3rd to Main, from Main to 2nd, and from Main to back one here, would that be 3 blocks?
4, wouldn't it?
You'd have 2, you'd count that as 2 in the on Main Street.
Buy a bus and give them bus service.
What if you just leave the ordinance in place and just don't ticket it if there's no snow on the ground? If it's snowing, then ticket their butts.
Well, moving the vehicle is number one.
Well, right.
And knowing, having them know that it's an actual
snow. If they still think it's in there, then they won't park there. But the ones that have to park there or whatever, if there's no snow.
It sounds like this should be a discussion we have again. I don't know if we have another
Could this be an officer discretion type thing, Jason?
I prefer not.
Okay. Just a question.
Could we put off the ticketing and the towing? I suppose without declaring a snow emergency.
It's up to the police commission.
I don't know how we could.
We're having discussion up here. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Because we're still in the same boat with even the people. They're still going to have to park on the street until there's a shift change at LCS and hope they can get into an open spot in that alley.
Now we'd have to, if we were to do a carve out for those blocks or whatever, we'd have to do some sort of a snow emergency. You know, you'd have to declare a snow emergency so he could get those blocks cleaned out on a timely basis. If we did a carve out, you know, left the ordinance in place and did a carve out for that area of town.
So outside the map that we have of the downtown area and the 24 blocks, there is a declared snow emergency of 2 inches of snow, and then no one can park in the rest of the city on the streets?
Correct, until plowed curb to curb.
Otherwise, if we don't do some sort of a snow emergency, they're going to have to bob and weave around every car in town and then go back and then go back again just to get a plowed curb to curb. And there's a big financial.
Well, and to be honest, I can hear then people say, don't even plow your streets in Waterville, because I already hear that.
So, I mean, there's issues both ways on this, and I don't want to have them come back 3 or 4 times just to get the streets cleaned up. So I don't think, you know, removing that citywide is necessarily a feasible thing. But if we wanted to do a carve out downtown, I think we could talk about that. Because I do think we've got a legitimate concern again, right? Down by you and Lake Country Sales.
If you're doing a carve out, you could do it by resolution.
Oh, okay.
You already have a series of carve outs. You would just add another carve out.
Well, I think the council should schedule a meeting to sit down and talk about it and work it out instead of being sitting here in a council doing it until you find a solution to that problem. It's a problem. We need to solve it. But it's not going to get solved tonight.
Alan, can I ask you to come back up here for a second or answer? How do you feel about a carve out on 2nd Street or any of these?
I don't know. I got to give that some more thought because, first of all, I didn't know a lot about this until tonight, later on, so I didn't get much thought into the whole process. So on the carve-outs, I'd like to get a little bit more information of how that's actually all going to work. You know, is it working when you declare a snow emergency? Or how's a carve-out actually work in those particular blocks? So if we're doing the snow cleanup from, say, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're doing all the blocks.
The snow emergency's declared. That trumps whatever type of carve-out we're talking about.
Okay.
Snow emergency, nobody should be parking on city streets until they're plowed curb to curb.
Right.
What I'm hearing is a potential carve-out, November 1st to April, whenever, no parking 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., but there may be a carve-out for certain streets.
Am I not hearing that correctly?
No,
that's what you.
I mean, I'm having a hell of a time following you guys here.
And I think
there's no snow on the ground, right? That's what they're talking.
No, I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is I'm hearing a carve out for potentially a specific street or series of streets, November 1 to April, 1. No parking, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on certain streets.
And they would be excluded from the map that says there's no parking.
But if there's a snow emergency.
But if there's no emergency.
They can't be parking curb to curb.
And what blocks were you thinking?
The second street south from Main Street where...
Basically the area of Lake Country, so from Main Street over...
Between Packwood and Main Street on second.
Yeah. And then Main Street...
Boy, we...
We'd almost have to go first to third on that. To encompass the businesses in that area. And then 3rd Street from Main to Packland.
Is this something we should schedule a workshop for?
Yep.
Yes.
And have the PD and have the PD and have, I mean, you're the one implementing this thing. I mean, and I'm hearing from you what we have in place right now. People know, and it's not an issue for you.
Right.
Okay, so whatever we do here, I think we want to involve them.
Yep.
Yep.
And I think that that's probably best suited for a workshop, because this has all kinds of intricacies and moving parts to it. We're not going to resolve anything here tonight.
No.
You guys do what you want to, but that's what I'd suggest, a workshop.
Yep. I agree. Can we...
And sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Like,
are people being ticketed right now?
No. Okay. No, that's the thing. They're not being ticketed. Okay.
Maybe they were looking at doing warning tickets.
Maybe a workshop next week or the following week.
Do we want to set one of those up?
And then you guys should be looking at potential carve out areas that you want people to be allowed to park. November 1, April 1, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., where people can park.
And that eliminates your street sweeping.
But Alan needs to be involved
that's
in
that's
this.
Why you need to be involved in this.
I think, though, if you know you're going to be sweeping the streets in those areas that would be carved out, we used to do a temporary parking ban for that time frame.
Well, we need to discuss all this. We're not going to solve it tonight.
When you do that?
Well, and I was going to touch on that. We never did change the... We have an ordinance in place that basically says nobody can park on Fridays, 2 a.m. I want to say it's 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Nobody can park on Friday, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. That has not changed, and that remains. And I would tell you, don't do anything with that.
That's one I didn't know about.
But to get that implemented and get that rolling, would be like waking up a dead whale. It hasn't been enforced for years.
You haven't done it?
Okay. I never knew it was even anything in the books on that.
Yeah, it is.
Was that when they originally would do the street sweeping at that point in time?
I'm assuming so, Jennifer.
It was long before me, I know that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. I didn't even know that one existed.
Well, Friday? 2 a.m. 5 a.m. no parking.
Okay. Well, let's try and set a work session here for sometime in the next week or two.
On the floor.
Yeah, we just need to pick a date.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
We do.
Right now? You did.
Okay. And what was that motion?
To table it.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. You guys got a vote on it.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do you want to try and set a work session tonight, or do we want to have Teresa try and set something up with us?
Let's try to set something up in the future here. Let's...
Okay.
Take a look at this. I'm not sure that we have much support for this issue.
Well, I'm going from the 15th to the 18th.
That's it?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been calling for the past
So did you, I got a little lost here. So are we looking at setting a date, or are you just waiting for me to?
You want us, do we want Tricia to send out a message?
I'm okay with either, honestly. I can, if you guys want to try and set something before the December 5th meeting, I think we could probably do something, but it's easy enough to do while we're all here.
Okay, Roy said he had the 15th through the 18th available. 15th.
No, I'm not available.
You're not available 15th, okay.
Is there anything on the 14th?
I'm in Wilmer.
I have no meeting scheduled for the 14th.
I propose the November 14th then.
Works for me.
Really? And that is the only day in November that I can't be here.
Okay.
It sounds like you guys don't need me here for this, so.
Man.
Okay.
It's going to be a fight, so we don't need you as the referee.
Otherwise, I have November 20th or 22nd available.
The 14th is a Tuesday.
20th is not available. We have P&Z meeting that night.
Okay.
I'm going to be sick that night.
14th is best for Teresa, so how about the five of us here?
It doesn't make it. I'm just saying the 20th, you can't. We have a P&Z meeting here on the 20th.
Yeah. Jennifer, 14th good?
Yeah, as long as it's on a Wednesday.
Yeah, okay. Roy, 14th?
That's on a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah, Roy, 14th?
Yeah, 14th is okay.
Okay. I can't be here for it.
Right. We won't have Jason.
What time?
I propose a meeting for the 14th then. 7 o'clock, or do you want to go early?
6.
6, that's fine?
Yes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Committee reports? Or, I'm sorry. Attorney's report and engineer's report.
Ready for attorney?
I got nothing.
Okay.
That's moving along.
Yeah. That's actually good that you have nothing, though.
Well, I do, but we'll discuss in December.
Okay.
All right. Jason Fenright?
I'll second Jason's motion. On the
All right. Do we have anything else?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Jason, attorney, right?